There we go. Good morning. Is that on? Yeah. Yep. Okay. Good. Okay. So this morning, I think I'm just going to start with the scripture. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from a different version, so it'll vary slightly from what's on the screen. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together, with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us as in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So what I want to talk about this morning is that sense that we are created, obviously, but also prepared. So we have been created for good works. We have been created for his service. And God has prepared everything that he wants for us in advance. It's quite an amazing thing when you think about it, that, you know, for each one of us, God created us for the purpose of fulfilling the goals that he has for us. He designed us to walk the path that he wants us to walk. So the first part of that is being created. So being created makes us who we are. God created us. He created our inherent skills. He created our personality. He created our identity. So do you recognize that in yourselves? Do you recognize what your abilities are, your natural abilities, your nature? Why were you made that way? But then it's not just that he's created us. It's also that he's prepared a path for us. So he's created the way forward. He's created the training and mentoring opportunities. He's created the guidance to steer us from that point of creation with the nature he's given us through to the end goal that he wants for our lives. And it's probably quite poignant that, you know, as Vivian was praying for the Queen, and you think, you know, I'm not a big royalist in that, but I have incredible respect for the way that the Queen has served in her 70 years. And that's somebody you can look at and you can see how they have, or she has, you know, really stuck to that path that she was made for. Never slipped from it. I've done about anybody else. I've never personally heard any criticism of the Queen. You know, what a life she's lived. So she's clearly took up her role. She walked her path. But what about us? Do we walk the path that we were created for? Do we know the path that we are created for? So if we look at that being prepared, having created us as God prepares us, have you taken the opportunities that have came across in your life Have you seized them when an opportunity arose? It's something that I've always believed in, is seizing opportunities. And one of the ways, I can't say that there's been very often that God's really sort of spoke to me in, you know, with a direct word. But I've always found my way through life by pushing doors. Someone presented with something, I push doors to see which doors open and trust that God's going to lead me through the right doors. And it's certainly been my experience that quite often you push doors and they don't open, or you're halfway through and they slam shut in your face. But we need to be prepared. We need to be, and there's two aspects of that word when you think about prepared. We need to be prepared, which can be training, so opportunities to train, to be mentored. But it's also prepared in being willing. You know, when you say that you're prepared for something, it can also be you're willing to do it. So there's that aspect of it. So it's building that experience, but it's also being willing to move forward. I mean, it says we live in the lusts and the desires of our flesh and minds. What are the things that are lusts and desires? And do these things block us from seeing the path that God is leading us along? Now, my selfish natural desire, the strongest one, would probably be for cars, which will come as a shocker to probably not many of you. But, you know, so that's just something that's been an utter fascination for me my whole life. But it's never distracted me from the path that God has had me walk. There are times where it could have, but it hasn't. Because ultimately we have to have that obedience. We need to trust in God that the path he's taking us down is the right path, and then be obedient. So we are saved as a result. Sorry, we are saved not as a result of the works. So it's not the works that we do that saves us, but we are saved by grace in order that we can do those works that God wants us to do. But that requires that commitment, that faithfulness, that we would tackle that. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And I think sometimes we miss the significance of that we are the called. You know, our life, it's not just a hope, a dream. You might have hopes and dreams, but what God is directing us towards is a calling. And therefore, it's an honor to be the called, because it means that you're responding to that desire that God has placed in your life. So that's really the purpose of what God is saying there, that we walk in good works, so that we walk in the way of good works. We do the works that God has called us to. Some works are general, it applies to us all. Some works are specific. That's a call in your life, and we need to respond to both. This, I've fallen on, I was preparing this, and I was going through something at the time. There's no work at the college, and in May they announced a voluntary severance scheme, and I had been praying for some for a long time, because I felt that I needed to be more involved in the fellowship, but I didn't have the time. So I was like, Lord, you're going to have to find some way that I can get more involved. So the VS scheme came up, and I just felt so strongly that it was the right thing. However, when I was just about to go on holiday, so I had to rush the application in, went away on holiday, came back all excited, to be told, no chance, way too expensive for you, can't go. And I was absolutely gutted. John will vouch for that. So there was some issues about the way it was handled that also kind of quite annoyed me. So what I did was I went and spoke to the vice principal, and aired my views, told them that, you know, once we'd had the discussion, I recognised why that decision was made and accepted that decision. But it was still pretty frustrating because I didn't know then, kind of left me in a, you know, a bit of a hole. I didn't know where do I go next because I felt so strongly that that was right. So it took me a while to sort of calm down and stop shouting at God. But I laid it down and I said, right, God, I says, right, well, that was a closed door, so I'll move on now, but you're going to have to present me a door that will open. And I laid it at God's feet, and I then felt a peace. I felt a real peace over it, and things started to change as other people left the college. And it was nothing formal, but just a lot of little things started to change. Some things I had to pick up. Some things I was offered. I was given an alternative. What did I want to do? And started getting involved in a project. And I thought, that's really good. This is going to be quite different. It's going to make the job quite different. You know, I say change is as good as a rest. So I thought, this is going to be quite good. So I became very content with the way things were going and thought, yeah, I could maybe have quite not a bad career for the next few years. At which point, human resources came back to me and said, we've had a rethink, and you want the VS, you can still have it. So I was like, all right, okay. I better go and speak to Margaret first before I make a decision, or I'll really be in trouble. But, you know, so I decided to go for it. So finish at the end of the month. That's me retired. Whee! But I started to think about that, and I thought, you know, see, when I look back, I've seen that quite a few times in my life where I've struggled with something. Then I've, you know, got to a point where I felt I had to lay it down, come to peace with it, to find that contentment. And as soon as I've done that, it's changed. And I started to think, is there a lesson in that? Is there something in that that we need to learn, that when we're doing something, if we're not content with where we are, God's not going to move us on. Because we're not content with what he's given us, so why would he give us more? If you think about it, if somebody gives you a lovely Empire biscuit, that's a good example, and they're not very grateful for it. Sorry, you give them an Empire biscuit, they're not very grateful for it. Are you going to give them another one? You're going to make them more Empire biscuits? No, they don't appreciate it. So do we need to consider that if we are not content with things the way they are, it's the same thing with God. If we're not content with what God has given us, then will he give us more? Will he take us on to the next step? And I started to think about that as a challenge. And then following on from that, I was talking to Mark Smith early in the week and kind of started talking about this, and he then gave an example from his life, and he says, but actually that just fits in exactly with something that I experienced. So I'm going to invite Mark up to share. Rather than me tell you what his experience was, he can tell you what his experience was. You might need to get the mic if you get there. That's there. Okay.
Okay. Ooh. So yeah, met with Tom this week, and he was telling me his experiences, and it reminded me of something that I went through a few years ago. When we moved to Cumbernauld, this was back 2006, we settled in South Carbrain. Anyone here from South Carbrain? That's good. So we settled in South Carbrain, and initially we thought it was a great move for us to settle in South Carbrain, that we'd chosen Cumbernauld. We'd been living in York, in England, with a beautiful city, but we felt we wanted to be closer to our parents because our children were growing up, and we settled on Cumbernauld because the schools all had really good reviews, and we thought it would be good for our kids to get a good education. and we settled in South Kerbrain because St Margaret's of Scotland had the best kind of primary school reviews, and that was the primary school for that area. And the first year or so, it was fine. You know, we kind of settled in, we got to know some of our neighbours, and started to, we came along to Cornerstone and had a really good welcome, and we felt like we were somewhere that we belonged. And then things started to go wrong, and I think David, our son, he got into some bother with some of the kids, and we realised it wasn't such a nice neighbourhood after all. Quite a rough neighbourhood, and we'd come and we'd viewed this house on this Sandy Knowes Road is where we were, and it seemed fine, but a couple of rows back you have Walbury, and it is not a good street. And then other neighbours moved into the house next to ours and started playing music at all hours of the night, and I am an incredibly light sleeper. And if I don't get my sleep, I am the grumpiest person you can imagine. And it just went on and on. And I went round and I asked them to turn the music down. And I don't know if they were drunk or they were on drugs, but they just turned, it's almost like they turned the music up. And I think they bought a piano at one point, and they were practicing a piano at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And my kids couldn't sleep, and I couldn't sleep, and this just went on and on, and I just began to hate it. And I think, why on earth did we ever move here? And I think we had a few bad winters. You know, it doesn't take, you know, time goes by, you have some dark winters, we had some summers where it rained all summer. I don't know if you can remember some of those, and I just felt hopeless. I felt like the sky was grey. I felt my life was awful. And it's like, what do you do in that situation? And, you know, I don't know exactly what prompted it. Maybe it was something that was taught here in Cornerstone. Maybe I was reading the Bible. But I started to get convicted that I should be praying for my enemy, this neighbor's on the side next to me, and even the kids and like the families that were bothering my children. You know, Jesus says, love your enemy, do good to those who hurt you. And I found that really difficult, really, really difficult. But, you know, that's what Jesus says, you know, and if Jesus says we're to do something, we should do it. So I started praying for my neighbors, and I started praying for other people in the community. And I don't know, it must have taken years because we were there a long time. And things didn't really get better. but something changed in me. And I started to have a bit more peace about the situation. And maybe I even started to have a bit more love for these people that I really didn't like. And I don't know, so that was 2006, so maybe 2014, I started to actually feel that we were in the right place. And actually, it wasn't so bad living in South Kerbrain, and I quite liked our house, and, you know, we had friends, and things weren't so bad. And then, within a fairly short space of time, things turned, I felt bad things happened. And I thought, actually, no, we need to get out of here. And I was suddenly in a place where I'd felt trapped for years. And all of a sudden, I began to see maybe we weren't trapped. And we started looking at houses, and it was like houses in South Kerbrain are worth nothing. And it's like we'd been there for 8 years, and the house hadn't gone up in value. And it's like when you're everywhere else has gone up in value and you're thinking, I'm never going to get out of here. But there was a few things that we realized that maybe we weren't quite as badly off as we thought. I'd been working, we'd been saving. Terry, bless her. Mary, thank you, both of you, for the CAP money course, which we have religiously applied to our savings. So we were able to move. We found that we were able to move. We moved out into a new house. And it was like, and then Tom was telling me, you know, his experience, and I was thinking, you know, for me it felt like I had to accept the situation I was in, and I had to allow myself to apply the teaching that Jesus has given to me, to all of us. And if I wasn't willing to do that in that situation, I don't know if like Tom was saying, if is it that God only allows us to move out of a bad situation when we have, it's like laid at his feet, when we have accepted the problems around us and said, well, I am going to bless you, God, and I am going to bless my enemies and love my enemies, and then God, maybe doesn't always allow things to change, but maybe that needs to happen first. So, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
So you can see the sort of similarities in the process. In Philippians 4:11-12, Paul says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I've always loved that verse, but I think in recent times it's really kind of struck home to me what it means that he has learned, maybe, that as he becomes more content with what he already has, then God gives him more. And that is maybe a principle that we need to follow. You know, we need to accept our lot in life, if you like. So we need to accept where we are in God, accept what he has given us, accept the skills that he has given us, use them, apply them. And when we accept everything and we find contentment with what we have, then God will give us more. But we need to be content. If he asks us to do something, we need to be content with that before he'll move us on to the next thing. So I just felt it was quite a strong principle, and I started to think of other examples. For example, when some of you remember the project that we had in Romania, I know Neil will. He drove a truck all the way there and back. But the project we were working out in Romania, and I'd went out, but actually as a kind of offshoot of the project, I started working with a church that worked specifically with the sort of street kids from the gypsy community. And I just thought it was such a fantastic ministry and just felt totally drawn to it, got involved. So over the 3 years of the project, I'd get quite heavily involved in that specific part, and always kind of disengaged from the main project in order to help out that church. It was led by a pastor called Yanshi. And on my last trip, he'd arranged me to go over for lunch, said he needed to speak to me. And there was also, he'd contacts in Germany that supported him. And they'd found out that I had got involved in the project. And they contacted Yanshi and gave him an ultimatum that either he stopped me from being involved or they would pull their funding because they didn't want anybody else being involved. They did offer, they said that if he was willing to do that, they would guarantee to support 100% of his funding needs. But he was really uncomfortable with that and he didn't know what to do. So we had quite a lengthy discussion about it, especially because he was speaking Romanian and I was speaking English. But essentially at the end of the day that I told him, look, I can't guarantee, I can't say to you that I'm going to source 100% of your funding. And if they're willing to do that, then we need to decide where your priority is. And I think the priority is to the kids to maintain that ministry. And if that comes at a cost, and that cost is me having to withdraw from it, then that's the way it has to be. But that is not your decision. That is their decision. If you want to accept that funding, then the fact that I'm having to withdraw from it is on their heads, not on yours, because you're doing what's right for the kids. And for me, that's most important. So when that project came to an end, obviously that I was thinking that I was going to be continuing with Yanchi and his church, but that was never going to happen. So that came to an end as well. And again, very frustrated with that as time went on, I just thought, God, what are you doing? That was take me all the way to Romania and get me excited about something, and then boof, slam the door. What's it all about? And I get nothing. For a long time, I got nothing until I was reading those verses with Paul saying, content in all circumstances. And I recognized that I was really, really discontent, and I hadn't moved on from that point. And God was saying to me, you need to be content with what's happened. You might not know the reason for it, but you need to be content with it. So eventually I got to the point where I was content with what had happened and where I was at that point. And at that point, then things started moving on. I started to really feel I was developing a deeper relationship with God. And that kind of triggered the sort of thought within me that I'd like to be like more involved. It'd be great to actually be more involved in the fellowship and the center and the things that are going on. And that's why I started looking then towards that opportunity, which has now arrived, obviously. So really, to sum that up, what I would say is, are you content where you are? If you're not content, why are you not content? Take it to God. See why am I not content? Is it something that I should be addressing, or is it just the fact that I'm not willing to accept my circumstances? Because we need that spiritual insight in order to follow God's path. And we need God to give us that insight. But we also need to be content with where we are for God so that he can give us more. So I would encourage you to find out, look at yourself in your life. Are you content with it? Is it where you should be? If you're not content, why are you not content? What needs to change? And that way, you will find your way along the path that God has set before you. Now, just to finish off, I'd came across two poems sort of relating to those verses, and I wasn't sure what one to read, so I was like praying that, like, right, what one will I read out? So it's the second one. So I'm just going to close by reading this poem out. Okay. In chains in a lonely prison cell, Paul found contentment and peace. He cast his burdens in Jesus, and joy in his heart did not cease. I get placed in some circumstances that can stir up so much strife, but trusting and looking to Jesus can keep deep contentment in my life. In the midst of all my troubles, I can weather the storms so wild and have peace deep down within, remembering that I am God's child. I can have contentment and peace that only my great God can give. I can be led by the Holy Spirit on each day on this earth that I live. Father, we just come before you with servants' hearts. And Lord, I ask for us that we would be content. I would love and hope for everyone to be content with their lot in life, but not willing to settle for it, because that's different. So Lord, we can be content but not necessarily settled. And Lord, we just pray that you show us if there is anything that we have discontent with, that we need to lay down just help us to lay it down in the belief that once we release that, we will move forward with you. So Lord, just let your Spirit minister these words to us and just be with us now as we come to bring glory to your name. Lord, bring peace to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.